Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? How are you? Welcome to this week's weekly live training session for Authentic Persuasion. So glad that you're here and excited for everyone who's tuning in, for people who are here and a part of this. So glad that you've made it. So I do these sessions every Friday. My name is Jason Cutter. I run a company called Cutter Consulting Group. I focus on training, coaching, leadership development, sales process, sales systems, everything sales operation related. And part of what I focus on is helping people sell in a better way, sell in a way that feels authentic, feels genuine, feels like something that they want to do from a sales perspective to help other people. And then at the same time, being effective at moving people forward, at persuading people to make decisions that will help them in where they're at and what they're doing. So that is the big key. That's why I do this. It's part of the mission that I am on to help fill the world with over a million authentic persuaders. And if we think about sales, we think about what doesn't work in the world of sales for the customers out there, for all of us as customers. And we think about that and we think of what would it be like if you were to experience and interact with a sales professional who's also using authentic persuasion to genuinely help you as a customer get to a better place and achieve what you want or buy what you're looking for or get out of pain or achieve a goal or just be better in some way. Especially better than that salesperson found you, that would be amazing. Other professions do that. Even if we think of electricians, plumbers, things like that, there's so much that goes into them being certified as a professional in that realm so that they can help you get to a better place. And sales doesn't have that. So it's really on all of us to take that into our own hands as sales professionals to ensure that we're doing everything we can and doing the right thing. So last session, last week, I talked about working together, both marketing and sales. Make sure to check that out. Session 25, it was all about where that balance is, where is the integration between marketing and sales. And a lot of times what happens, unfortunately, whether it's you buying leads or you're part of an organization that has marketing and sales departments, is that it's sales versus marketing, marketing versus sales. Marketing thinks sales should close more deals. Sales thinks marketing should give them better leads. Like some level of finger pointing at each other as far as what they think should be done instead of working together. Now, and I'm not saying that it's not sales' fault for not trying harder or marketing for not getting them better leads, but typically what happens is everyone's not working together to ensure the success of two important parts. One is the company's success and one is the customer's success. What I see a lot, and again, check out session 25. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. You can find it on here, wherever you're watching, LinkedIn, Facebook. You can see the replays as well. But the problem is that all these silos exist. Marketing is here. Sales is here. Customer service, retention, billing, processing, all of these different things. And everyone is just focused on what their job, their KPIs, their metrics and their success and outside of everything else. And the problem is that they then, if they're not successful, then blaming others instead of working together. If you're watching this, if you haven't checked out that session and you're at the top of an organization, an owner, a leader, executive, something like that, it's up to you to bring the departments together again for the success of the customers, which will then lead to the success of the company. And remember, ultimately, no matter what, the punchline is your customers don't care about your departments. They don't care about your silos. They don't care about your position. They don't care about your metrics, your KPIs. They don't care about any of that. What do they care about? Themselves. They care about themselves, their success, what they're looking for, what they want to achieve. Again, getting out of pain, getting to a better place, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's all they care about. Remember that. Right? They don't care about how you wish marketing would get you better leads or how you wish the salespeople would make more follow-up calls. They don't care. They only care about themselves. And the more you and your company can focus on the sales experience, the more likely your customers will be happy and then your company will be successful. And speaking of which, one of the exciting announcements, I have another one at the end of this, but one exciting announcement from this week is that my latest book got published and it's on Amazon, available via paperback. It's called Reasons Not to Focus on the Sales Experience. And I co-wrote this with a friend of mine, Nick Glimsdahl, who wrote one for customer experience and also employee experience. It is available now. Depending on where you're watching this, you can go to salesexperiencebook.com and you can also go to Amazon and search Reasons Not to Focus on the Sales Experience. I won't ruin it, but the point of the book is to help you realize what you should be focusing and why fundamentally everything is about the sales experience. So if you're in a leadership, management, ownership position, you're running a sales team, a sales operation, get that book, reach out to myself or Nick, and let us help you use that as a guide. So I just want to put that out there, especially as we're talking about these silos, these issues. It's a great tool. Super excited for that book. It was very fun to put together with Nick and excited to get that into as many hands as possible. All right. So the topic for today, what I want to focus on is actually a part of another exciting announcement, another book. This has been a really fun week for me because I had two books get published and come out in 1 week. And I'll mention that one at the end. But this topic here, where I think it's really important, if you saw the title of this before the session began, is Marry the Vision and Date the Strategy. Now, here's why this is important. This is for everybody. This isn't just a leadership session, right? Which it mostly is, but also if you're in sales, if you're an employee, if you're part of an organization, this is also important to you. Now, again, most of this, I'm going to be speaking to the leaders, the managers, the directors, the owners out there who are watching or listening, but it is for everybody. And really where this comes into play and what this is focused on doing or helping with is change management. Now, I talk about this a lot. I've done many sessions on this. A lot of the authentic persuasion pathway is focused on the fact that we as humans do not like change. Change is scary. The unknown is scary, right? Like we like doing what we like doing. We like the known. And of course, there's people out there who have a higher tolerance for the unknown, for taking risks. Usually what happens is they're okay with risks in some areas, and then other areas they like doing the same thing, or they have their routines, or they have their things they like. But fundamentally, when we talk about a job and being in a role, people will tend to have what they like and what they do and what they know and what they can expect, right? I think the days of going to a job at a factory and pulling the same lever for the next 40 years, or being a part of a factory and rotating through, but knowing what you're going to do every single day and what every day is going to look like, that doesn't exist. And that doesn't exist for most people. And my guess is that doesn't exist for the people who are tuning in, whether you're watching this live right now, or you're checking out the replay or listening to the audio, that that's not really what your life is like. That's not even what you expect. You don't expect to be doing the same thing every day. However, within your day, within your job, you do expect to kind of know what's going to happen. And whenever possible, I see a lot of people who just want it to be in the same realm. They want to know like what's going to happen and they don't want things to change. They want it to be pretty much the same. They want it to feel the same. They don't want any surprises and they go that route. Now, that's the primal start of our brain that knows that safety comes in two things: working together as a tribe, being accepted by the group, as well as the known, staying in our comfort zone, sticking to what we know, and avoiding things that are outside of that because those things are dangerous, potentially deadly when you make the wrong decision, right? If we stick to what we know, it's worked so far. You're alive to this point because of what you know, what you've done, and what you've determined is safe. Anything outside of that, that's an unknown, right? So the key is when you get into that mode as an employee, change can be difficult. If you have worked at a organization, a company for any length of time, then you know that things are going to change. There's going to be a new script, a new process, maybe new leads, new CRM, new technology, new phone system, new leadership, new manager, new training, whatever that might be, things are going to change. Challenge is people don't like change. Even more compounding is the fact that what I see a lot is that in sales organizations, people who go into sales, a lot of times they don't necessarily like the structure and all of those other things. They like just doing what they do best and they just want to have conversations and be free to just make up the rules as they go, which sometimes that works. Most of the time it doesn't. You can't scale an organization that way, which is where I come in to help companies build the right amount of structure and systems and processes, which then make it so that people can bring who they are and their strengths and their powerful attributes as a human, having a conversation with another human, while at the same time making it so that we can scale, we can replicate, we can grow that. So the problem comes when that change happens and people who do not like systems, structures, processes, they don't like change necessarily, and they feel like they know the right way and they just don't want that, then it becomes difficult. And so the problem comes is when you try to roll something out from a leadership management perspective, from a company perspective, that you know it's something you know is going to be beneficial. And then there's challenges in rolling it out. And if you've been in leadership management for any length of time, you know what that's like as well. You know what that feeling is of this is something good. We know we need to do it, but they're just not doing it, or it's not going well, or they're not embracing it. So keep in mind that that's what we're talking about. Now, let's talk about the phrase, and then let's talk about how to use this. So marry the vision, date the strategy. The big key is that a lot of times what happens in organizations, in groups, in anything, an organization could be anything from a family to a sales team, to a company, to whatever, nonprofit, doesn't matter. Like in an organization, one of the things that happens is a lot of times the employees get married to the strategy. They're married the vision, married the strategy. Now, what's the difference? Well, the vision is where is the company going? And of course, some companies have a very clear vision, a very clear mission. This is what we're doing. A lot of companies I see, they don't really have that. Like they don't have this big vision or mission. They don't have something like everyone is excited to be behind. It's a business and it's helping people, but it's mostly just for business purposes, generating revenue and moving forward, right? So, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, save the world and end hunger. A lot of companies, especially the ones I deal with, they want to improve their lives of their clients. At the same time, it's a business, right? They're not changing the world necessarily. Here's what they do. So the vision and mission is more of like, here's what we do. Here's what we're focused on. Here's the value we provide to our clients or the world or our community. And then, so that's the vision. And then you have the strategy is how are we going to get there? Best analogy that I always use for this is imagine if we were taking a road trip together. Right? So you and I getting in the car, we're going to take a road trip. We're currently in LA, California. We want to get to New York City, New York, right? We know we want to be there in X number of days and we're going to go. Now on that road trip, New York City, New York, that's a vision. That's our vision. That's where we want to get to. That's the final destination. That's where we're headed. we will know that we're successful in our vision, our mission is if and when we get to New York City, right? And say there's something that we have to get to for an event. Now, what happens along the way is unknown. We can plan it. We can strategize. We can say, all right, so we're going to stop here. And the first day, we're going to go this far. And we're going to stop here. Second day, we're going to go this far. Third day, we're going to go this. Fourth day, we're going to do this. Here's the stops we're going to make. We're going to try to stop here. We're going to go here. You could plan it out excessively in as much detail, as many stops, as much as you want. And you can build that out. And as soon as you get in the car and go, it's an unknown. Right? Like you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you will be able to achieve that every single day, right? Roadblocks, construction, traffic, you could get a flat tire. You could have to take more bathroom breaks than you want. You could get excited and sidetracked by a roadside attraction, world's largest ball of yarn as you go and you want to look at that. Maybe you decided you want to take a detour and check out the Grand Canyon on the way because you never have. All these things come up and that's part of the strategy, right? Where we're dating the strategy. Here's what we want to do, but we're flexible. Things are going to happen. We're going to be flexible in what we think could work better, right? Like, ooh, maybe this road will be better. The map is the Google Maps is now saying, if we go this way, we'll save this much time. Okay. Sounds good. Right. Other thing is just life. Life comes up. It's unknown. You have no idea what to expect and you have to adjust. If your goal, if your vision is still to get to New York City, then you're going to adjust and keep moving forward. Even if you fall backwards, you're going to get back up and you're keep moving forward, right? So if you get the flat tire or a car breaks down or something happens, you end up at a mechanic's shop and you're there for a couple of days, right? Do you turn around and go home and say, you know what, never mind, that was too much? Or do you get it fixed and then you just keep persevering and you keep going? Most people, especially if there's a big reason for why you want to get to New York, not just a vacation, not just fun. Hey, let's just go check it out. This would be great. But a real solid reason. You need to be in New York for this kind of event on this day. Then you're going to push through whatever comes your way, whatever changes in the strategy, whatever happens, you're going to keep going, right? You're going to keep moving forward. Now, if you don't have a very good reason, if you're just like, yeah, it'd be cool to see it. If I make it to New York, great. If I don't, then enough, if enough adversity, if enough things come up your way, enough challenges or issues, you're going to quit. You're going to turn around, head back to LA, and then just give up. And then maybe try it some other time, which also happens in business where someone is kind of dating the vision. They're like, yeah, I'm kind of interested in this vision for my company, this mission for my company. I'm kind of interested. And if there's enough issues, then they're just going to quit, right? And you see that a lot. It's a topic for a note, totally different thing, but you can imagine how that is if you've started something and quit, which I have many times, where you're like, oh, I want to do this thing, but it's not really married to it, right? There's another way that's put is it an itch or is it a burn? Right? If you've got an itch for something, hey, you know, I'd be really interested in taking drum lessons, right? Which I've done in my life. And it'd be really cool to play the drums. That was just an itch. I tried it. I did okay, but it was a lot of work. And then I gave up, right? Versus when you have something that's just a burning desire inside of you, like you have to do this thing no matter what. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many times you fall down. You will keep getting back up and you will keep going. That's totally different. That's when you're married to the vision, but then dating the strategy. Now, let's bring it back to sales teams, your organization, your company, your groups. The big key is first setting the expectations with your team. The current team that you have, ideally when you're hiring people, when you're recruiting them, when you're onboarding them, when you're making them a part of your organization, is to make sure they understand we're married to this vision. And we're dating these strategies. Here's how we think we're going to do it, but change is a constant. That's what I used to tell people in every interview and then every onboarding training I was always two things I guaranteed the people. One is change is a constant, right? And not just, hey, it's Tuesday, so let's just change the desks and move people around and let's try another thing. No, if we're doing change, there's a reason, which I will get to. And then the other part that I always guaranteed is that you will always be busy, right? I come from a, you got time to lean, you got time to clean mentality. Not that I have sales teams cleaning, but there's always people to be calling. There's always things to be doing. There's always things that we could be training and practicing on. I promise there's leads that aren't being followed up on. If you're sitting around bored, hanging out, you're doing it wrong. And you should always have a bunch of things to do. So that's what I guarantee to people. But the key is understanding that it's dating the strategy, how we get there, what tools we're using. We don't know. Currently, we're doing this. The goal is to win. And here is the big thing. And this is what you have to help your team understand. This is one of the best things you can do for change management, is help everyone understand and remember that the business, the organization, is there to be successful. Now, if it's a business, if you have a sales team and it's all about revenue, like for that group there, and they're producing revenue, then the goal is for the company to make money. It's to succeed. It's to stay in business, to make more than it spends, and to hopefully keep growing and being of service to clients, right? That is the goal. Now, if it's a family organization, the goal is to be successful, maybe achieve these kind of goals. And with a organization, with a company, with a sales team, the key is to make sure your employees know, your team knows, that if something changes, it's because the people at the top of the organization feel that that will lead to more success or help avoid issues or failures or challenges, right? And again, coming from experience, whenever I've rolled out things like a new script, I've put that out there and get pushback, right? Even if it's something that's necessary for, let's say, compliance, like here's the scripting. We have to say these things to make sure we're compliant, make sure we're setting the right expectation, make sure that we're setting people up for success as clients so they know what's involved once they become a customer, right? If you sell B2B and you're selling a SaaS platform, there's some kind of onboarding, there's some kind of integration, even if it's cloud-based, there's something that has to be done. There's somebody, something that you, the customer, have to do. There's something we have to do. And then there's something for how it works long-term and how to be successful with it. If you don't set the right expectation with that, people think, oh, I just signed up for this. It's all going to happen behind the scenes and I don't have to do anything. And that's going to set the wrong expectation. So many times I've rolled out scripts, processes, things like that, to set the right expectation so we can have happier, more successful clients, right? Again, it's not always about legal compliance. Sometimes it's just about setting the right expectation. Inevitably, salespeople push back on that. They don't want to change. They don't want to do something different and they don't understand it. And it's that primal part, like I started with, saying, I don't want to change, right? I don't like change. Just let me do what I do best. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like this would make sense. I have that all the time where salespeople are like, your script doesn't make sense. I don't need to do it. I'm already doing okay. I don't need to change, right? And then some point hits a point where either I require them to, or they realize, wait a second, that is more successful, right? I'm going to stop resisting it. I'm going to do it. But that's this dating the strategy part. The key is helping everyone understand that you're married to the vision. We're still going here. We're still going this direction with the company, with our customers, with where we want to go and how we get there, what we're using. Those are all strategies, and strategies are going to change. But if we do change a strategy, if we change a script, a process, bring in a new phone system, get a different CRM, it is because we feel it's best for the company. It's best for the business, maybe best for the customers. Not easy, not ideal for everyone. Short term, long term, it will be better. Just remember, company, if this is for employees, if you work at a company, the company's goal is to make money and make more than it spends short term and long term. And so if they're asking you to do something or change something or try something different, the reason why is because they feel it's going to help them succeed on that mission of making more than it spends and as a part of the vision. So instead of resisting it, and I'm just like, this is just my plea from everything I've seen, instead of resisting whatever management is asking, ask questions, understand why. If your managers aren't good at it, ask probing questions to find out why they want this change. Be weary of managers who say, just do this and I don't need to tell you why. Just roll this out. It doesn't matter why we're doing it. That might be a red flag. That might be a problem about why, indicating that something isn't right behind the scenes. Most healthy leadership organizations are run in such a way where they say, here's this new strategy. Here's this new tool. Here's this thing that we're changing. Here's why. Here's why we've done this. Here's why we think this is important. And then move forward. You on your side, once you understand that why, and you know it's still part of the vision, right? Married to the vision, still moving that forward. Embrace that change. Trust it. Go through it. Again, even if that doesn't work, the company will come back and then make a change. So that's a huge part from your side. Now, from a management leadership side, remember, marry the vision, date the strategy, and set the right expectation with your team. Whenever you adjust something, tie it back to the vision. Make sure the team understands we're still going this way, but we need to change this thing, right? We still want to achieve this as our vision or mission, but we've got to make an update here. Same thing goes with your leadership team, because a lot of times what happens is executive leadership, owners, people towards the top, they're thinking, all right, the team is going to have to change this. And they forget to make sure that the management director level leadership is on board as well. So you want to make sure that you're always getting them enrolled in the process. And the best way to enroll somebody into something, into a change, into something different is, again, being married to the vision, dating the strategy. Now, here's what's interesting. And I wrote about this in Selling with Authentic Persuasion. And in my first book that came out a few years ago, I actually have a chapter called Selling is Leadership. Now, why do I bring that up? Because what's interesting is if we look at this concept of marrying the vision and dating the strategy, this is also a part of good leadership of an organization, but good leadership in general, which is how you should be leading your prospects. So for you all listening or watching this, and you're in sales roles, selling roles, or direct management roles of salespeople, keep in mind that a really professional, in my opinion, salesperson, a sales professional is helping someone and persuading someone as a leader. They see a vision for that prospect, right? So let's imagine that prospect has a problem with their marketing for their company. Okay. The salesperson, the sales organization, they, as a sales professional, they say, I have a solution for that. I can see the vision as your guide, not the hero, as the guide. I can see what that vision looks like. I see where you could be at with your marketing. I have the software to help you overcome that challenge you have now. I can see the better future for you, right? Like, I know where that vision is. This is what we help companies do. Then what happens is we've got to date the strategy. As a sales professional, then you help that prospect understand the vision, get married to the vision of where you want to go, which is the steps that I train and taught in the sessions around the Authentic Persuasion Pathway. And what I teach to companies now when I come in and work with their teams is those five steps, which take you through the process of essentially doing the same thing, which is getting them to understand the vision, understand the future, you as their guide, helping get them married to that vision. Once they're married to that vision of what it looks like, of what that future could be, then the rest of it's strategy. Then the rest of it's easy. The sales conversation is strategy. The implementation is strategy. The tools, all of that stuff is part of the strategy. And that is the key. A lot of people in sales focus on how do I say this? How do I close this deal? How can I use this? How can I use NLP? How do I trick them into this? How do I do that? Like, and even when they become customers, like they're not doing what I need them to do. The problem is that you and or they are dating the vision or dating the vision and or married to strategies, which is like, I'm just going to be married to this one thing. And then if change happens, people are so stuck and they can't handle change. Think about it in any relationships that you've been in, where you're in a relationship and then maybe a big event occurs, right? A job loss, relocation, move to another city, move to another state. One person loses a job. The other person needs to go back to work. This person's out of work. What do those look like? If you're too married to strategies, then those feel like the end of the world. Those feel like deal breakers. And it feels like something that you can't do because you're married to a strategy, right? Instead of being married to the vision and dating the strategies, right? If you as a couple or relationship or a family have this vision of where you want to be, where you live, where you work, who's working, that those are strategies, right? And obviously you only adjust those as needed and only when it fits into the vision. But again, it's flexible. When you're in sales, it's the same thing. How do you get them to get married to the vision of what that future looks like, of them being in a better place, either out of pain or achieving something better? And then how do you use the strategies to get them there along the way? And what's interesting is when you do that, whether you're leading a company or you're leading your prospect, like I wrote in Selling with Authentic Persuasion, the key is it becomes so much easier. Then I'm not convincing. Then I'm not manipulating. I'm not bribing. I'm not twisting arms. I'm not tricking people. I'm literally persuading people about the vision and keeping them moving forward. The same challenges that you might have faced in the past as a leader of salespeople, where you're trying to roll something out and people won't do it. And you're like, all right, we're going to offer up this bonus or spiff for everyone who uses the new CRM, right? Now you're bribing them and that's a form of manipulation, right? You can reward them as a treat. That's fine. But to get compliance, to pay for compliance, that's different, right? Versus making sure people understand, here's the vision, here's where we're going, and then here's the strategy. That is the same thing that works exceptionally well in a sales role when you're dealing with your prospect. They're looking for a leader. They're looking for a guide. They're looking for wisdom. And when you can do that, you get them married to that future. And then the rest of it is strategy. How we overcome this, how we find the money for this, how we deal with a spouse or an uncle or a boss in getting an approval. That's all strategy. We know where we're going. We got the vision. We know what we want to accomplish. The rest of it is literally strategy and things for us to overcome, things for us to push through, things for us to figure out. And so that's the interesting thing. And if you want a really amazing example of this as an organization, just like top line, headline example, if you're familiar with Zappos, so Zappos is online, you know, started out with shoes. I don't know what they do now, but I know they do shoes. And then they were bought by Amazon for just a ton of money. But Zappos, started by Tony Hsieh, who passed away a few years ago, he started this in Northern California, near where I used to live, north of San Francisco. So he started it there, right? And one of the things was he was so focused on company culture and empowering everybody to just do what it took to help customers be happy, right? Help them succeed as customers and want to come back, want to tell their friends. And almost a blank check to customer service representatives to take care of issues. Free overnight shipping, free replacements, like literally up to a certain budget of $1,000, $2,000 they could spend to fix a problem, even if it wasn't the company's problem, but just to make sure that person was happy. Employees loved it. Company culture was so great. And here's the part, right? This is where I'm going with this part of marrying the vision and dating the strategy. At one point in the business, Tony Hsieh, the company said, this is really expensive to be in California. People are having a hard time paying for housing. This is an expensive place to be. We're paying a ton in taxes to California. California is a terrible state for running a business in because there's so much in taxes. He said, you know what? We're moving to Nevada. We're moving to Henderson, Nevada, which is basically Las Vegas. We're going to move there. We're going to move the whole operation. If anyone wants to come with us. You can have a much lower cost of living, much better lifestyle there. Come move with us. And I don't know the exact numbers, but I think he had like 1,000 employees at the time. And I think like 80, 85% of the people agreed and moved. Think about it for yourself. If you're running an organization, what is it like when you just want to roll out a script or a new phone system or a new HR policy? Right? What is that like? Have you ever tried rolling out a dress code and making it more formal in the office, like stepping it up a level? Like the mutiny that happens in those situations can be so painful to deal with. Now imagine you moved your company from a state where a lot of people think is the best place to be to another state in the desert, and most of your people go with you, right? That is a great example at that top line of married to the vision. Here's what we want to do. Here's who we are as an organization, dating the strategy. Strategy, we're going to move. Here's what's going to be for you all. Here's what it's going to mean for us. We can then grow. We can do this. This is a strategy decision. This is still who we are. We're still married to this vision. So that's a good one. I think it's Pursuing Happiness. So Tony Hsieh wrote a book. It's a great book about the move. It's also the company, the culture, what he created, why he created it, and how he fostered that. So that is a great example. Check that one out. So again, main thing from this, make sure you're leading an organization, you're leading your prospective customers forward, and you're wanting to move people towards something. Marry the vision and date the strategy. It's the number one thing you can do. It's the mantra you should have. And when you have that mantra, and when you make sure that your new hires understand that and set the right expectation, which is we're going here, things may change, right? Like we may pivot, right? That was the word of the year in 2020, is these pivots. Some companies did it really well because their employees knew where they were going and they were okay with the strategy changes. Other companies totally failed, totally struggled with pivoting because their employees were married to strategies. They were married to the things that you shouldn't be married to, and they should have been married to the vision and dating it. So remember, marry the vision, date the strategy. If you have an established team, if you have a company right now, two best things. Start telling them about this. Explain this to them. Second one, if you need help with that, you need help with changing anything to do with the structure of your sales operation, any processes, any coaching or leadership development, even getting your management team to make this shift, reach out to me. You can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. You can find me on all the social media platforms. You can go to jasoncutter.com as my hub, but reach out to me. Let me know what kind of help that you're looking for, what you think might help your team. Let's jump on a call. Let me see how I can help you shift them to marrying the vision and dating the strategy. All right. So that's it for today. And then just so you know, I said there was another second announcement. Something I was excited about is this part here. What I just expanded on and talked about with marrying the vision and date the strategy is actually a part of this book here. And I don't know how well this is going to show up on here, but it's called Voices of Leadership. And it is actually the second book that I had published. Technically, I think it came out last week. It was on pre-sale. And I just got my copies this week. And so it's called Voices of Leadership. Brian Brogan, I was on his podcast. He approached me, and I am one of 40 contributing authors on this book about leadership. My chapter is about marrying the vision and dating the strategy. And there's so many great authors, so many great leaders who contributed to this. You can find this book on Amazon as well. And if you're interested in a copy of it, if you're a leader of a team, email me. I have some copies here with me that I would love to send out. I would love to share. Same thing with the sales experience, Reasons Not to Focus on the Sales Experience book. Email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Mention one of those or two of those, the Voices of Leadership or the Sales Experience book. I will send one out to you. I'll send both of them out to you just to help you in some way with your leadership, with building the sales experience that will help you, help your customers, help your employees, and ultimately help your company. So that's it for this session. Thanks for tuning in to session 26. Happy April. We're now in Q2. Hopefully your Q1 went well. And I will catch you on the next session next week. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.